2 Kings chapter 18. Now, this one tonight, as we mentioned, this is the one we call Prayer Makes a Difference When God's People Are Alive With No Power to Live. Prayer makes a difference when God's people are alive with no power to live. Now, we get that thought, if you recall. Actually, we'll look at 2 Kings 19 first, but and just to clarify where that thought came from. And then we'll go to chapter 18 to begin what we're looking at tonight. But in 2 Kings 19, in verse number 1, the word of God says this: "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it," again referring to the threatening letters of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, "that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." Father, would you help us tonight to see what you want us to see and have the faith that you want us to have? In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. Now, again, as you think about his description here of the situation here, Hezekiah was quite faithful. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But based on the threatenings, you know, he's talking about, he relates it to the birth process. Imagine a child being in the womb 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, growing. If you've ever carried a child or known someone close that's had a baby, you know each exciting stage that is. And when they can first, they just know conception, when they can't see anything, and whether it be ultrasound and hands begin to develop and feed and the head, and then you first see the heartbeat, and you knew it was alive, but when you see that heartbeat, the hope and the vision, you think, wow, this is exciting. And if it's your wife or somebody you know, the belly gets bigger. At first, they told you there's life, and you believe there's life. And even sometimes, before you can even tell, you can hear there's life. But after a certain point in time, it can't be hid anymore. Because the flesh changes. That's a good illustration. Pretty soon, that which is growing inside, it so overtakes the flesh that even if it wanted to, it couldn't be hid. Amen. That's where the Holy Ghost ought to be. Amen. So, and come to that place 8 months, and finally that ninth month, and that child's alive, is living, and is breathing, and you know it's supposed to be born, but it can't come out. And there's just no strength to come out. All that progression, all those steps in the right direction, everything moving forward exactly the way it's supposed to be, and something happens to where it's alive, but now it can't really live. That's the description of many people that walk the Christian life, live the Christian life. There's that birth. There's that conception. There's that excitement. There's even that growth, and there's things happen on the inside, and as God begins to change you, and you think, why did I do that? There's even an excitement within yourself because things happen in your mind and in your heart and your thoughts that you know the person that you are, you wouldn't have done that. But then something happens, you get to a place, and you know that there's something more. You know that what you've just been doing is just really just the beginning, even though it may have been 9 months or a year or 5 years even. Who knows how many years? Or who knows the amount of time? Maybe even 3 weeks. But you're at that place and you know that there's a next step ordered of God. But you don't think, man, there's no way I can do it. There's not strength. There's not vision. And in your personal estimate, there's not power to come forward. That's what Hezekiah is saying. This is a bad day. But this is a day to pray. Now, turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, to look at this thought, I want you to look at the life of Hezekiah so we can see this progression of how this is really what happened to him. In 2 Kings 18, verse 1, the word of God does say this: "Now, it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, And Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So we see, number one, he was obedient. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I've read messages on that before. The greatest way to have a good Christian life is to live in the sight of the Lord. To live as if there's no way you're hid from God. To live, you know, to have your motivation to do everything pleasing in His sight. Your thoughts be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Your dress be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Your actions be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Prepare your set for Him, and you'll always be obedient unto God. So he was obedient. In verse 4, we see that he was holy. It said he removed the high places, and he broke the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. Anything that was there, he broke it down. He removed it. He made sure that he had no connection with things that were ungodly or things that were unholy. He separated himself unto God. So he was holy. In verse number 5, we see that he trusted God. In verse 5, it says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Notice this. So that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, or any that were before him. Now, this is a pretty powerful testimony. And how could this person get to the place? He said, there's no strength to come forth. This is a bad day. And he has the answer. And we see also that he trusted in God. Verse 6, we see he clave unto the Lord. It's for he clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, with the Lord commanded Moses. I wrote down a definite word clave here. It means to stick. It means to hold to. I like this part. It means to unite or be united closely in interest or affection. So he clave to the Lord. And you know what? He was one with the affections of God. And he was one with interests of God. What God was interested in, he was interested in. What God had an affection for, a love for, he had an affection and love for. And this was his life. This was the life that he lived. And we see last of all in verse number 7, he prospered in everything. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He served God. He wouldn't serve anybody. He had this great life and prospered in everything that he did. Maybe that was the downside right there. You know, I wrote a note in my journal some time ago, said, Lord, would you help me to have victory over prosperity? I mean, I'm not a prosperity preacher with a limousine or a Cadillac, but I mean, for a lot of people, I'm not doing bad. I'm not complaining. I came here in a vehicle that had heat. We had one winter. He had a vehicle that didn't have any heat. That was an experience. I used to drive that thing, and I had the, when I was in the U.S., I picked up cans of de-icer. I don't even know if they even sell it here. I've never found it. And you spray it, and I'd be driving. I'd spray de-icer on the inside of the van because it was freezing up on the inside. Y'all remember that, don't you? It's a cold rise to church. Somebody mentioned gave us some money to put by heat, but so you thank God for the little things. Don't take things for granted, amen. So he prospered in everything, and perhaps maybe that's why it caused him. But I asked myself this question and look in the text: what caused Hezekiah to lose his power to live? Because his life has been stopped for a moment to the point where he has to pray, which is a good thing, by the way, but he's in a situation where he can't go forward because this is a day of trouble. We've come this far. We're like a child in the womb, and we don't have the strength to come forth and to live. Notice in verse 13, I noticed something here. It says, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So I took number one, the enemy gained some ground in his life. You might say enemy got place. You know, the verse in Ephesians said, neither give place to the devil. So until this time, the enemy hadn't gained any ground. He's in a victory. He had rebelled against the king of Assyria. We saw that because he trusted God. But there, the enemy gained a little bit of ground, maybe shook him up a little bit. Second thing we see, they said, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. I put number two, Hezekiah gave some money to the enemy. We might say he gave some resources to the enemy. Perhaps he was rebelling before, and maybe he thought with his prosperity, with his or ability, he would just buy his way out of this situation, because he didn't immediately go to prayer when the enemy gained the ground. Perhaps it could have been stopped right there. I don't know. But whatever happened, the brakes were put on, and he's not able to go forward. And so enemy gained some ground. He gave some money to the enemy, opened a little door there, perhaps. And now, as you know, the text, of course, the enemy is never satisfied with just a little. Now the enemy wants everything. Because it says in the king of Assyria, verse 17, sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh to Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joel the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trusted upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. And so now he wants full control. And that's just the way Satan is. You know, you sometimes in the midst of the battle, sometimes it seems just a lot easier to handle something in the flesh. Now, and as we just read, he has a pretty awesome testimony at this point. Everything's going well. Everything, whithersoever he went, he's prospering. And this enemy steps in, gets a little bit of ground, a little bit of resistance. And instead of going to the Lord, immediately, he say, you know what? Let's just send some money. Let's fleshly handle this thing. And all of a sudden, that opened the door and it got much bigger than he imagined. Because, of course, the enemy is never satisfied. Never think that you can just give a little sin to pacify somebody because they want more. You know, many people have done a lot of bad things they never wish they had done because they sin a little bit. I'm talking about professing Christians. And then once they open that door, you know what the enemy does? Especially friends that know what they're trying to live. They say, well, you already did this. What's the difference in you doing this and you doing this? And they'll slowly, step by step, lead a person into doing something they never really wanted to do. Now, in chapter 19, well, the question is, what was the answer for Hezekiah? How does he get out of this? You know, he's going to pray. And this is rather amazing when I looked at this, and as the whole word of God is always amazing to me. But in verse 1 of chapter 19, now we read down to verse 3. So let's just pick up in verse 4. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, And Isaiah said unto them, now a prophet of God, he's got a message, he's got a word from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Now, if you underline your Bible, here's our answer right here. Here's the answer to everything you're walking through. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. What happens, I would venture to say, it's probably people in this room that are standing in the doorway of some faith decision. And maybe Satan has a little bit of ground in your life. Maybe it's a little bit of open door. And you know what you're supposed to do with that door, but every time you think about going through that door, you hear something. They said, what about this? Or what about that? There's some type of threat that causes you to look at that door, and you know that's the right door. And you know that's the way you should go. And you know that that would please the Lord to go through that door. And you know that it would please the Lord. You know that God would just be satisfied if you'll just take a step, because you know even that much, that the steps will get in order of the Lord. But when you contemplate that step, there are a lot of things you're hearing except with God. And I was thinking the magnitude of this is that, you know, everything that's happened, the word from God says, don't listen to the words. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. The word, see, there's only the word of God. Now, we understand all the words, but in this instance, Hezekiah really has the answer to everything. And in fact, read down a little further. Notice what he says next. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. That's God saying. He said, don't fear what they said against me. Behold, I will send a blasphemy on him, and he shall hear rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now, right here, Hezekiah had a word from the Lord that he would not be defeated. But there wasn't any victory yet. Until he prayed. He had the admonition, don't listen to the words of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the words thou had heard. He had the promise of victory from the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord. But it wasn't over yet. He did not have the victory until Hezekiah prayed. That sounds like the life of a lot of people. I've been at that door many times. I've got the word of exhortation. Be not afraid of the words which I was heard. I've got the word that says, you're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Is that Bible? I've got the confirmation that I know I've read the last chapter. I'm going to heaven when I die. He's prepared a place for me. And he's going to receive me unto himself. And every other promise in the word of God, he will never leave me nor forsake me. Go in his authority. No height, no depth, there's no principalities or powers. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Not one thing. But there's times I'm looking at that door and I'm that child in the womb, full term, ready to be born, but just can't seem to be born. Because that's the day that prayer makes the difference. You know what they do in a woman's situation sometimes? They break the water, amen. And God says, break the water. He says, call me. Call unto me, I shall answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And finally, in verse 14, Hezekiah received the letters. He's heard the threatenings, he received the letters. And I should point out, if we may have before, but in chapter 18, in verse 36, Hezekiah was trying to prepare them, because notice in verse 36, it's about the people held their peace. Now, when all these threatenings are going along, it said the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. You know, sometimes we don't even have to rebuke the devil. You know, sometimes somebody says something that's so ridiculous. You ever heard the statement that does not even dignify a response. And if we really understood the magnitude of the reality of walking in the power and authority of the Word of God, there are many things, many accusations, many things that Satan even puts against us that do not even dignify a response. They just demand prayer. Because for some reason, this was a day because he had to pray. He had the testimony of faithfulness. And yeah, sure, he gave place and whatever, how there was some ground gained by the enemy, and perhaps he tried to handle it in the flesh. But the reality was, he stood here not knowing that in and of himself at that moment, that for some reason he could not go forward, and he didn't want to surrender. He knew that was not the option. He knew to give up and give over to the king of Assyria was the option. So he went and prayed. And because he prayed, then he got the confirmation. Verse 14, it says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. In verse 20, we'll just skip down there. Then Isaiah said, let's read it on. Verse 17. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Hezekiah, amen, brother, that's right. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. He said, I heard you. And it was over then. And he goes forward and he goes in detail of everything. And God goes in great detail of how he's been offended by the king of Assyria, and to really express to Hezekiah that I'm not letting this go by. And he says here, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. This is what God said regarding Sennacherib. He said, the virgin, daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee, whom thou hast reproached and blasphemed, and against whom thou hast exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. Sennacherib, you exalted your eyes. We dare not even look to God. He's saying, and he lifted up his voice against God. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, and has said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of his Carmel. And I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps? Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be, and it's pretty bad if you hook somebody's nose, isn't it? And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and the second year that which springeth up the same. In the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. You know what happened? God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians and hundreds, 85,000. That's 185,000 people, in case you're wondering. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. He said, well, no fight here. All my men are dead. I'm going back home now. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his sons, that's pretty bad, his sons, after seeing what God did, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. God said, they're not even going to get in the city. They're not even going to be shoot an arrow. The Bible says that, you know, through the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God said, they're not even going to get near. You're not even going to fight. In fact, God says, you know what? He made me so mad, I'm just going to fight it for my name's sake. And for David, my servant's sake. You know why? Because Hezekiah prayed. You know, he could have, if you remember his prayer, the motivation of his prayer was that all the earth, well, words in verse 15, Hezekiah prayed, verse 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. All the kingdoms. I believe that's visible and invisible. And when that's our prayer, you know what? We'd be amazed what God can do. You know, I was thinking about what to do. I thought it might be good, you know, because everybody in here is different, you know, and some is a matter of prayer. We may consider doing this, and I don't know if there's things that are not too personal. I thought about having slips of paper and having you write on slips of paper the words that you're hearing that are keeping you from going forward for God. And then what we could do is show biblically the biblical response, and then it's up to you. You have to take that letter and put it before the Lord and say, Lord, this is the blasphemy. This is the words that are speaking against you. You know, because that's exactly what Hezekiah did. You know, he's got the threatening letters. All of us here have different, God has a different plan for each of us in this room. A different will, a different way. Some things are the same for all of us. But every single one of us, if we haven't gone through that door, if we're that child, we're alive. We know we're alive. Know we're born again. Know we're saved. We know we're alive by the grace of God. We thank God for that salvation. But it just seemed like that mountain. Every time it seemed like even when we think about going forward, that mountain seemed like it's impossible to get past. And it's because of the words. Maybe the word just said, well, you already gave ground. You can never get up again now. But the Bible said, just man falleth, you know. But he rises up. Why can you rise up? Because God said you can't. And you know you got the promises. And think about this. The messengers sent back word to Hezekiah that Isaiah had said, thus saith the Lord. He had the answer of victory right already before him, but it was not settled yet. He still could not rest. He still could not answer and go forward in the strength of the Lord until he took those words, those letters, and laid them out before the Lord and prayed. And then God sent the confirmation. Now, I heard what Sennacherib said against you. And one of the good things about keeping a journal, if everybody, you have some journal, some things right now, or maybe just take a sheet of paper, you know, tonight would probably be a good night because it's good not to delay if God speaks to your heart. And write down the words of the enemy and what he's saying against you. Because everybody, and you know what it is, but every time you want to step forward, what you hear, it may just be a voice that says, no, but you're going to miss out. But if you're going to miss out on this, or they're going to think this, you're going to lose this person, lose that person, whatever the case may be. Whatever the words are that you hear, are you going to be all alone? You're never alone. God already told you that. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. You lay those words out and you take them somewhere just you and the Lord. That's the one reason that's the one thing I wish we did have our own building sometimes, because we get just to have the church open where somebody just want to go fall on their face and pray as long as they want to pray. And say, Lord, here it is. Lord, I've come to birth. Lord, I know you saved me. I know it's your place. I know it's your will for me to get out of this womb. I know you want me to live this life. Lord, I know you have more for me than just showing up for church services. Lord, I know you have more for me than just reading my Bible occasionally. Why can't I get there? The enemy is saying, I can't get there. The enemy says, it's not worth it. The enemy says many different things. And God says, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Take those words, lay them out before the Lord, and say, Father, do you hear what he's saying against your child? Father, do you hear what he's saying against me? He's saying that you don't have enough. He's saying that although you live inside of me, you do not have enough power to work in me to allow me to do what you want me to do. Father, did you hear that? And you say, Lord, would you work through me, not for me, but so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. I'm not a betting man, and I don't have to bet on this. I think the Father will hear. Because which of you, being a father, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if your son asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit is in control, then all things are possible. Because then you even know how to pray. Prayer makes a difference when you are alive, but you do not have the power to live the Christian life. Hezekiah had been faithful to a measure. Hezekiah was threatened by the enemy. Hezekiah even had the words of the Lord to tell him, that the enemy was going to be defeated. But he never experienced that victory until he prayed. Let us pray. Lord, you know what you'd like to do tonight?